C2A. Number 25B.
Yes, in this way we have read the text and tried to interpret the text. And naturally, one says, now, what have we gained by it? And I wouldn't be surprised that you feel that what you gained is really that the textbook has become more friendly to your thought, that reading the textbook is much more ordered now, that you begin to see the spiritual story of the chapter, and not just sentences that are put one after the other without really seeing a thread line going through it. And so you may feel now more that the textbook speaks to you. That is really what I would like to accomplish, that the students get so acquainted with text interpretation according to the tonality of the capitalized terms that he has in the textbook, his teacher, his impersonal teacher, and the more one can read that text in a spiritual way, the more one then is able also to see relationships between the various subjects, which, as we have seen, the moment we see it as a structure, structure is always creative. It brings to our consciousness new revelations. Just as Mrs. Eddy said, science reveals, so that we don't have to wait for God, who is a mystical concept usually, that he gives us a revelation and hope for the best of a nice revelation, but that science now can reveal. We have done that text, and I speak quickly about the future or the next year. When one has seen and struggled through such a class as this, with a lot of new ideas coming and insights coming, then it is always good if one goes back and says, I want to consolidate what I have heard, so that one doesn't get back and forgets it all and runs after another subject, mainly, but that one feels, now I have to go back and be alone with the book and see if I can see that structure and that spiritual structure. So I would say it would be very good to take the next 5 or 6 months just to culture really those tones, those subjects, making it one's own. How can we make it one's own? Well, it's always the same way, that one goes over the text first from the point of view of the letter, of concept building, and first is quite sure that the letter, like the epitomes, are correct, tone-wise correct. That it is actually so that each one could find this structure in the textbook himself, so that he does not have to say, well, Max taught that way, but that you see that it is in the text, that it is something that we have not superimposed on the text, but that the text itself has yielded it, and that each one can defend it without saying, Max said. That's a bad thing to do, though I know you do it with all your loving heart. But fundamentally, one should know the principle oneself. When you calculate what is 5 times 5, you don't say, well, my math teacher said 5 times 5 is 25. You say 5 times 5 is 25 because it is so. And you don't say your math teacher so-and-so, that nice man or that nice woman, told us so. So doing that again is culturing the letter, is refining the letter so that the concept building is purer and purer. And then don't forget that we must get the spirit of it. And to get the spirit is not just a highfalutin happening, it's not just an esoteric happening. To get the spirit is a scientific process. To get the spirit means that one takes one's findings and thinks about it in one's own way, without having the text in front of oneself or the notes in front of oneself, but perhaps just as an aid, but that we sit back and look into the synonymous terms. They are the guiding lines, as we see, that everything is directed through the synonymous terms, here mainly through the order of the word of the seventh synonymous term, and you sit back and say, what does it mean? What does it mean to me? What does it teach to me? Why is it in that order? Why is it not in another order? How does the subject start and how does it end? How does that start as a proposition unfold step by step until it reaches its solution at the end? What is that chain of scientific being? What is that order in divinity, the divine order? What is it? And you think about it in a gentle way, in a listening way, not in the way of hard thinking, of struggling with one's own thoughts and with one's own memory. No, let it be music in you, let it be tone in you, let it be melody within you, and as you go on, first do the very blunt one tone melody, one voice melody, then little by little take in the subtones and you begin already to listen to that song with two instruments, with two voices, so to say, and you culture that, and little by little you can take in the third instrument and then the fourth instrument, and finally you will feel that you are listening to the music of the angels, that it is angels' song, something that is in being and that is the reality of ourselves, our reality. And that gives us a nice method how to get to the tone of the subject, and little by little, as we use that, practice that, experience that in life, it becomes consciousness. It becomes, so to say, a consciousness that stays with us, that a consciousness that we have not to build up time and time again. It becomes a consciousness that reacts at once in the whole category, in the whole word category, to a situation. Then the spiritual sense within us sings that song. And we don't have to say, now, which song shall I sing? And how does that song run? That song sings in ourselves and sings that song which is adapted to the situation. And so little by little it becomes consciousness. And as we know it becomes consciousness, then we still have that fourth point happening, because consciousness determines being, determines our life experience. Little by little, therefore, that consciousness is that which determines what we do, what we think, how we are led in our study, how we are led in our life, and becomes being. That whole song then is our being. And then my being is one with the one being with a capital B. And everything within myself, what I think, what I feel, what I do, resounds that one being. That's at one ment with God. Do that with the subject of Atonement Eucharist. And then after 6 months or so, try to prepare for next year, if you want to come back. If you're not disillusioned about this week, you may come back, you know. So next year, I take the next chapter, marriage. But marriage is a short chapter. I can't talk, or it is not nice to talk about marriage a whole week. It would be too impressive, and everybody would get married, and I don't want that. So, and also the subject, because it talks in the language of common experience, not so much of a high metaphysical language, it's easier, especially the first 5 tones are very easy because they touch ordinary experience, then the 6 and 7 become a little bit more metaphysical. And so I would think that if you would prepare well with epitomes and perhaps also with the tapes that are available from my London talks way back in 1956-7, isn't it a long time ago? Think of it. 30 years ago I presented it, and nobody took it. Nobody took it. Are you going to do the same thing? You are not. You begin to take it, huh? You are not. So I had to wait 30 years. Huh? Yeah. And now you see what you can do with it when you get it. You love it, and it animates you. Whereas when I did it 30 years ago, I had a big class. I had about 130 people sitting in that class on the textbook. What have they done with it? You get always again the desertion of the idea. They ran after things that were not half as important. Or can you imagine something that is more important than the textbook? There isn't. But the human mind is always a Judas. Always. And refutes and rejects the highest. And it runs after the smallest. Isn't the human mind a funny thing? Huh? It never takes the best. Never. It just doesn't want the best. If we profess to Christian Science, and Christian Science is laid out in the textbook, and Mrs. Eddy said everything that one needs to know about Christian Science is in the textbook, and then one doesn't take it. One takes really tittle bits, here a sentence and there a sentence, and likes it, and live with it, but not the whole. So, that was a side remark, but it just shows that we have been talking in this chapter along about deserting the idea, and we were all thinking this is not possible, that one can desert the idea. And it's right on our doorstep. Right on our doorstep. Think what would have been achieved if they would have accepted it and would have said to all those incisive questions, yes, I do it. What would we have achieved in that time? So I had to build up a field from nothing. I've built it up in Switzerland. I've built it up in Germany and to a great extent here in America. You can do that. It's possible. But one must be faithful to the idea that matters. So, if you would say after the first 6 months or so, take up the subject of marriage, and perhaps try now with the epitomes to do the very thing I've been doing in the class with Atonement and Eucharist. At this point, actually, I think you should be able to a great extent to do that work yourself. To say, I read the text and I listen not to the words, I listen to the tonality. Can I see there mind, and mind as mind, and mind as spirit, and mind as soul? Can I see there spirit as mind, spirit as spirit, spirit as soul? Can I see it myself? Don't talk too much about it. Pray. Be still within yourself and pray and be one with God. And just pray that you have the mind that has God, that is God, and that no other mind than the mind that is God is listening to that mind, and that you have that mind of Christ. And in this way you prepare your inner receptivity so that the light can come in and can enlighten the consciousness. So try that. And I say that so that perhaps next year I don't need too many hours to go over it. That perhaps I can do it until Monday evening or Tuesday lunchtime, that we should be able, so I hope perhaps, to do the whole chapter on marriage. And we could, if you are well prepared, you know, that's very different. The moment one feels that the student have actually made the preparation work, then one can talk much freer in the spiritual field than just always pointing out words and the synonymous term to it. Then naturally I can speak much more around it, or the spiritual sense of it, which would be actually much nicer. So that there is plenty of time left to take in also the fourth chapter, spiritualism. There again you have the epitomes in the blue book. Also, if you like to take those tapes from London, when I did take the fourth chapter in 1958, I think it was, 7-8, it's a big subject. It's a mighty subject. And I think it's a turning point after the first three subjects, because we come to the word as science, and we begin to touch science there. Which does not mean that what we have done in prayer and the Atonement and Eucharist and marriage is not science, but it's a preparation for science, for taking the pure concept of science. And you feel at once, especially when you come from marriage to spiritualism, that a completely different atmosphere reigns there. That a completely different approach really is necessary to unearth, so to say, the treasures there. And that chapter is a bit more complicated or complex. And therefore, even that would be naturally a great help, because it's about 30 pages, a long text to take within then 4 days or so. If you were well prepared, it would be much easier naturally also to show really that terrific subject of Christian Science versus spiritualism. It's so to say the science of spiritual ideas versus spiritualism. And this is the great point here. Yeah, so that would be what you could do. In the first week next year, I take the Minor Prophets, and not So as I have put them into my book, the book gives the whole stories of every minor prophet and the metaphysical interpretation and the laws of the minor prophet. So I can't take that again. There are also tapes on that, on that summer school I gave on the prophets in London in 1960. But what I want to do is that I want to show, if possible, how one can define divine laws. Always that question, what are the laws of God? Mrs. Eddy never really says what the laws of God are. She only says there are laws of God. And therefore we should, so to say, know what the laws of God are and how they can be formulated. And that I would like to show with the minor prophets. They lent themselves very easy to show that, so that we get a sense, how can we think according to laws in the Christ with the prophets? So those who attend, I naturally would like if on a sideline they would take my book on the minor prophets, read them, study them, ponder a little bit them, and so prepare the consciousness for that sense of thinking in terms of laws. Yes. Well, that would be the prospect. Did I say everything? Yeah. I know that there are lots of tapes that I've referred to, and it's naturally always a financial big thing for many of them. But I also would say, if you like to get them sometimes this year, it would be nice if we would know it already now. Because if we know how many would take them, then we can much more economically produce them. But you can pay later. Sorry, Alice, you may not know that, but I lay down the law that you can also have these tapes by installment, I think you say, because I quite realize that you go into quite a financial adventure with me, though I myself, you know, that all the income I have from the books go to the Institute, not to me. All the incomes that I have from the tapes now go to the Institute, not to me. Because to print these books is so expensive that I have to put my income back into this book as I did in earlier years. Until finally there is a better prospect also that way. So know that if you think you want to have those tapes, those series, and you don't have the finance for it, we understand, but you can have them in installment and also to a reduced price of $6 a cassette, because I feel what I want is really not the money. What I really want is that this is my, so to say, my last attempt to show the world what the textbook is. I mean, going through the chapters. I can't do that again after 30 years. I've done it 30 years ago, and that first attempt didn't hit. This is a second attempt. Built on the impulsion of life, on we go, and ever on we go, and just not to go back, and just not to be discouraged. So I make another attempt, and you feel what responsibility is on your shoulder now. I can't come back when I am 110. No. So, knowing that, naturally, my endeavor is to give everything I have in the way of books and tapes, and not looking for the income, to the student so that he could really prepare himself and really get it. Do you know what would happen if you would get it? You would revolutionize the world. That would happen. Bring in the millennium. And bring you, what she said, into infinite possibilities. That's it. All right, so this is Atonement and Eucharist, and I think we had a jolly good week. Thank you.